thumbing my way in North Carolina, staring up the road and pray to God I see headlights. I made it down the coast in 17 hours, picking me a bouquet of dogwood flowers, and I'm hoping for Raleigh I can see my baby tonight. So rock me, mama, like a wagon wheel. Rock me, mama, any way you feel. Hey, mama,
maybe that's the whole thing. It's the Rick Vaughn thing.
Sure. Well, that was a Wagon Wheel by Darius Rucker, probably perhaps the best known South Carolina fan that I'm aware of, unless somebody else can think of another one. I don't really know.
Is Brad Paisley one?
I know he's a fan of everybody.
He likes, like, Kenny Chesney.
Kenny Chesney, sorry.
Yeah.
Well, he likes everyone. He's like a Michigan fan, you know?
Yeah.
That's Kenny Chesney. I'm not saying I don't like a few of his songs. I'm not going to be that.
This is all obviously major hearsay, but when I was in DC,
TMZ.
When I was in DC, one of my roommates was, believe it or not, hooking up with another random girl every other week, and this particular one was said she like worked on a tour with a bunch of country music singers, either a venue or a tour, and that was
worked
the rumor.
On a tour, huh?
Yeah, right. Totally. Like I said, this is totally just something somebody said, but that's what she said about him. And obviously, you maybe just pick some reason to get, you know, have a divorce or a wedding, a marriage annulled. But when he got it, it was like short term marriage with Squinty Face. What's her name?
Renee Zellweger.
Renee Zellweger. That's right. They put something in the the reason they put it as was like some kind of, I don't want to say fraud, but it was like basically not what she expected. Like I'm not using the right terms, but I mean the point of it was that she was quote unquote, you know, like theoretically blindsided by something.
The naked guy popping out of the closet.
I'm here for the orgy.
That'll blindside you.
Like a goddamn magic show.
Like a goddamn magic show.
Tag team your girlfriend.
All right,
okay.
So.
That's ending there, and it's starting over here.
Just the standings we're looking at on the thing are not updated, I don't think.
Not yet.
I thought they were.
Oh, wait, yeah. I can't tell you that I went 5-1, but I'll take it.
They are. Sorry. There you go.
Okay.
Great. Fix it.
I'll fix it.
I'll fix it.
Great. Well, yeah, I guess that song is
was all that on the pod?
South Carolina and their victory over.
Quite a start.
I'm trying to think of a comparison. Maybe, you know, some of the tremendous Dallas Cowboy teams of the 90s. Unbeatable. Maybe that Steve Young 49ers team. Maybe some of the old Pittsburgh Steelers team. What I'm trying to get after is that Georgia team was better than those because they were invincible. And it turns out, what we've missed out on is that South Carolina is, you know, they're more than invincible because they beat Jake Fromm. So, you know, and he threw two picks. So somebody probably slipped. I've had a few guesses on how that happened. Jake Fromm had, you know, somebody slip a Mickey in his Kool-Aid on the night before the game or that day. Not sure.
Absolutely.
Or it turns out that maybe Georgia's not that good. Like they looked, you know, kind of how they looked all year long, that they've been kind of like when they were playing against Notre Dame and you're like, are they that good? Is Notre Dame that good? And then they played against Tennessee and you're like, well, how's Georgia down? You know, they're incredible. And it turns out, you know, it's just that they're okay. You know, they're bad, but they're not great. And they got beat by a really average team. And that was wonderful. And started the day off with a bang, you know, and proceeded into really, despite the Gators losing, a really fun game to watch. I can tell you, I was very excited. Even though my internet went out, I watched it on my phone and on the radio. Turns out that we, while gardening, we cut the internet to our house. So that's how it happened. But no big deal. Got that fixed. But still, it was a lot of fun. It was a good game.
Yeah,
I don't know about you guys. I mean, I had a lot of fun. I was really impressed with our team, especially being down. Like, I think a lot's made of us being down the two defensive ends. I don't necessarily think the Gators win with those two guys, but I think it may have made a difference. But they were a good team, man. You know, LSU's a really good team. They're the real deal. That's I'm prepared to say that. I'm not saying that they're going to beat, you know, just because they beat us, they're the real deal. It's just the way they played. They looked really good. I think their defense is good enough to beat teams like Alabama, Clemson. I think they're one of the best teams. That's my view after that game. I'm curious to see what they do against Auburn. You know, I've heard some people say that you know, they're just going to whoop up on Auburn, but Auburn's schizophrenic, so I'm not so deadly sure that that's true. So we'll see where they go from here, but they could easily go undefeated, and I wouldn't be surprised if they did. So I don't know what you guys think about it.
So my take, I'll start with the Gators and go backwards. Enjoyable game. I felt it's one of those games where even though we were with them, I kind of felt like we were just getting every ounce, especially on offense, like the scheming that Mullen did was just getting every ounce of talent that we had. It just felt like LSU was more, like, significantly more talented, but very proud of the way the offense played. Extremely disappointed in the defense. I know we lost the two ends, but half the time we couldn't even freaking line up right. So I don't know what was going on there. That makes me a little bit nervous, but yeah, you know, LSU's a better team. Burrow is, I mean, he's a smart quarterback. He's got a good arm and he can move around. And they've got a lot of good receivers. And I mean, their O-line played phenomenal. Funny story about the Georgia game though. So I was in downtown St. Pete shopping because my wife's birthday is coming up. Oh, and nice. So I had to hit a couple of spots that I to try to find something. And I did. And so I'm checking the scores and I got in my car and I flipped it over and the Georgia game was on and it was like the third quarter. And I was like, well, I could drive home and maybe catch the end, or I could find a spot and watch the end. So like the end of the fourth quarter, I go to Engine 9 and just plop down on the corner of the bar right in front of the Georgia game. And just watch that Chinese checkers match between those two idiot game managers. I mean,
wow. I like it.
Checkers? I would say, what about Candyland?
Yeah, maybe Chinese checkers.
Chutes and Ladders.
Too difficult, yeah.
Chutes and Ladders has numbers. I like just color drawings.
Remember Spree or something? I think that was a game.
But I mean, it's like, it just reminded me, it was like the best of both worlds because Georgia lost. But it reminded me how great it is to not have Big Dumb Will coaching my team. So for those of you who didn't see it, 4th and 3. So they go move right down the field after they, of course, commit a penalty, which was borderline on 4th and 6. But it's like, just don't grab anyone and give them any extra throw flag and make Fromm make a play. Anyway, so it's 4th and 3 with, 45 seconds left. Rather than lead the clock and then kick the Big Dumb Will decides to take a timeout. And then I think that was the play before, but takes a timeout, leaves like 45 seconds on the clock. They do another play. Then I think Georgia called timeout. Mm-hmm. Forced them to, and then decides rather than either punting it or going for it, which would have given them probably, if you're running probabilities, a better chance to win than trying a 58-yard fucking field goal where
if you make it
great, Georgia still has time to tie it up. If you miss it, all they need to do is get two first down or three first downs, and they're in field goal range. Well, they do get the three first downs, but their moron head coach of their own just totally fucks it up and ends up getting an illegal shift penalty, and they're out of field goal range. Just a fiasco. But anyway, the funniest part is, like, so I'm watching it. There's one guy who, like, came to my left, and he was kind of into it, but I didn't know who he was rooting for. And, like, so when South Carolina missed the field goal in overtime, I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? And I heard another guy groan. So, like, the way the bar set up, it's like a rectangle, but then they have a wall that goes all the way up to the ceiling, so you can't see the opposite end of the bar. And so I heard another guy groan. I'm like, oh, that must be a Gator. And then when Hot Rod missed the tie and they lost it, we both yelp. And then he looks over and he had a Gator hat on and he must have just like closed out his tab. So he like walks out and we high five each other like, go Gator.
That's awesome.
Everyone else is looking at us like, 'cause it's, you know, downtown St. Pete. So, you know, half the people that care about college football. So
can we put it on HGTV?
yeah. But
when I was watching that, though, all I could think was, I've seen this episode before. I know this is how he coaches.
Kirby Smart is like, it's so funny that you listen to Kirby Smart like defend himself on the, when they had 6 seconds, he's like, well, we go for it every time on 6 seconds. We got a quarterback. We got in charge of, we do that play every day. And I'm like, and are the Homer guys running the clock? Do they, it's right every time? It's like, dude, just kick, try to kick the field goal. And then he's like, they asked him, like, were you scared of a kick six? And he's like, no, but of course he is. So at least say yes. I mean,
Did he explain why they didn't kick the field goal?
He said every time when they have 6 seconds left, they always elect to take another play. That is what he said. They always do it. God. That is all. And it was emphatic that we do it in practice every day. We have confidence in our quarterback. But to me, it was like, yeah, but you don't, if you don't need the yardage, which actually all of it showed it, like he could kick it that far. Why take the chance? It just doesn't make any sense. It just doesn't. So
well,
of course
that doesn't make sense. But what, were they out of his range after the penalty?
Yes.
Okay.
It's interesting to see
because it would have been what, like a 60-yarder maybe or 55-yarder.
Yeah, and then because after that they asked him why, and he's like, well, we just, you know, we always and he was just mumbling it all about it. We always go for it there, and then we got on the legal shift, and that's the game right there. Like, he didn't even like address the fact that he just said he wasn't scared of a kick six. That's all he said. Which,
right, but well, he was the defensive coach that game, or, you know, he was on that field that game, right?
Yep. So, that's correct.
Not field, but on the sidelines. So.
They totally fucked the time management leading up to that too. They wasted a ton of time.
Right. Well, didn't they get a delay game?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Well.
Yeah. It's just they're not invincible. I'm just glad that we're there now. That they're not invincible. You know, I think the path is clear in the East for Florida. I truly think they're the best team of the three left. Maybe not. I'm not saying they couldn't lose to them, but I think they're the best of those three teams. So I think the path is there. I'm not saying they would beat LSU or Alabama in the championship game, or even Auburn. I'm not writing them out. But, you know,
yeah,
I think that's there. I'm excited.
I was wrestling with the idea of like, am I just like, you know, super excited about Mullen that I'm like overlooking the fact, you know, like, cause I was in my initial thought after we lost was, well, I mean, we had our chances and we could have beat them, but they definitely seemed better. And like, I was okay with that. You know, like I was okay with everything. And then I started thinking like, am I just like looking at this with sunshine, you know, with rose colored glasses? Cause
no,
but I mean, I really do love his game plan. I mean, like, you know, obviously there were a couple calls that Mullen made late that I didn't agree with in the fourth quarter, but the guy, like, you know, we went 75 yards, like four times, like three and a half times, you know, like,
yeah,
or, excuse me, way more than that. Like, you know, like I think their first three touchdowns or first four touchdowns were actually all like, very long drives. That holding penalty that got us early on in that one drive seemed to be just a total killer. It's like he didn't adjust I didn't understand. It didn't seem like he adjusted the play calling to adapt for the fact that we now needed first and 20. And then also after Trask just got off the field with a touchdown drive, they put Emery in there and we basically went three and out, I think. So
yeah,
it's like
I was just going to say that was the one, the one you can't, penalties happen, but I didn't agree with starting Emery, you know, at the 25 or whatever. That was
right.
And then like the like option call, I mean, the game was over at that point, but the option call where we got stuffed on the last fourth down. But how about the officiating? I mean, well, blatant hold on Cleveland.
Yeah. Yeah.
On the interception.
What did I really hate? I mean, like,
there was a fucking ref standing right there.
He was looking right at it. And then
how about targeting on Jefferson?
Yeah.
It was blatant.
Yeah.
There was the targeting. There was also like a number of holds that their offensive line, you know, did. Like I was like, and the back judge is right there. I just couldn't figure that out. I mean, I'm certainly not blaming it. Like we had our chances.
I think the holdings go either way. I think the two that you just missed, the one on Cleveland, obviously, and it was blatant.
I know, it was right there.
He was grabbing. He was falling down and grabbing his jersey.
Right. What else are they looking at?
Right.
Stupid question, but that was an SEC crew, right?
had to be, I guess.
How, how about the touchdown to Pitts when he, the guy was like, or maybe not Pitts, the one where the guy was all over.
Jefferson.
It was Jefferson. It was like, and
remember
then
Jefferson took that shot to the back of the head, or the,
that was the target, I guess. Other one. Yeah, this first one, I think.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. The second
that was flat out targeting, dude. It was like, I don't think that the guy intended to do it, but still he did it. And it was brutal, man. I thought
apparently there's no intent. So yeah, I mean, and
there is not that's not part of it. Like, but the problem is that when you just when you lead with your helmet like that, that's the problem. Right.
Right. And this allegedly is supposed to, not allegedly, but they say it's supposed to protect the defender as much, if not more.
It would have there. He had to leave the game.
Yeah. He was hurt too.
Prima facie evidence.
Nice.
Well, it was a good, it was a fun game, all that. I still think the better team wins. I mean, if you ask me, if we play those team, if we play that game 10 times, I'd say Florida probably wins 2 out of 10 times. That'd be my guess.
I agree. Totally agree.
So I'm proud
of that. What about, I really want to, I would love to see that game again in a couple months with Zuniga and Grenard healthy. Just to see.
Well, if I was a betting man, I'd say we're going to get our chance.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So moving on to that, let's have a look-see at the first game here. Leading it right out at noon.
What's everybody drinking if you don't want to get in the
I thought we'd already done that, but okay.
And the standings we didn't do either.
Cousin Bailey.
So quick story. 2 weeks ago in Gainesville, Malt Liquor was there, Joe Quizza. One of our friends from Virginia, the Navy guy, came down, and today in the mail, he mailed us bottle of Tarnished Truth small batch high rye straight bourbon whiskey from Virginia.
When you say us, do you mean just you?
So well, you mean, he you did mean send it to Augusta
from Virginia.
Whiskey from Virginia, and actually, it's good.
Can't be a bourbon.
Who's the Navy guy?
I guess the guy who drove up with my wife. Do you remember him? We went to school together. Yeah, okay. Good dude. They but he actually, I guess.
Why did
I guess
they stop at that rest stop for 30
just
minutes?
Just heard that they sent it to.
You know why?
He sent it for my birthday.
Okay. How is the Tarnished Truth, which seems to ring a bell?
It's actually
like
really
rest
good.
Stop.
It's only aged 3 years, but it's really good. Small.
Yeah, I always noticed the difference between 3 and 5. Malt liquor.
Hidden Springs ZFG Pale Ale.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Dr. Terrific.
I'm drinking a refraction from Dragoon. It's a Wagoon. American Pale Ale. Wagoon.
Actually, I did go to Rolling Oats today here in St. Petersburg, and I got quite the selection for you guys to rip apart. And last thing I wanted to mention that has anyone checked out SEC Shorts for this week?
The Georgia beat up.
Yeah, it is hilarious.
It's pretty awesome.
I'm always scared when we lose to watch that stuff.
They never actually like beat us down like they have everybody else, and I don't think we would deserve a beat down. It was definitely Georgia was the butt of their joke this week, and it was hilarious.
Yeah. Can't be good.
Nice.
Never mind. Is that like the butt being the butt of a joke?
An intellectual property ale, which is apt by Motorworks Brewing Company in Bradenton, Florida.
You should be sponsored by them.
I think they actually did it because they got sued by somebody. If you're looking at the can, I think they probably had another name for it, and they because it says cease and desist on it. I have a feeling that they probably got sued.
Didn't Lagunitas do something like that too, where one of their beers got
That happened to Terrapin too.
I had to plow through a bunch of CLEs because I was up against a deadline, so I just got online, mm-hmm. and just. It was a bunch of bullshit, but it was like beer trademark law. So I watched like 4 of those. It was pretty interesting.
Nice.
And we do a lot of that work. It's interesting. So.
Yeah, it was some girl out in like I think believe it or not, Shocker, Oregon, and that was like her practice. She's like a solo practitioner, and all she does like advise all those brewers on trademarks and stuff.
I mean, she probably makes about $5,000 a year because that's not much money in that.
Yeah. The Terrapin Brewery had one called High Five IPA that was very good.
Bracer.
And they had to change that to Up High because there was somebody out in Oregon who already, or I think Washington rather, who already had the name. It was a small brewery.
Don't we have our Imperial Stout trademark?
It's by the way, it's cleared. If somebody wants to buy it, you can commission our firm. I can get the trademark for $2,000.
What is it?
Or we can
Bourbon Boys
file
Stout?
An application, or you can file an
application. No, dumb.
3.5 Ronkin is open.
Oh, 3.5 Ronkin. That's right. 3.5%. Not good.
I was thinking that 3.5 Ronkin would be a good name for a vodka, too. Then.
No, it has to be.
Oh, yeah.
It has to glow in the dark, too. Just kind of throw an effect in there.
I was just thinking that it's got to come with like a glow stick already lit right in the bottle. No,
you can do it. You could file it. It's clear. So you could go online and do it like on one of those probably cheapo websites. The problem is that when you actually had to perfect it, you know, you would need somebody to help you with that.
We should do an IP podcast. That'd be cool.
It wouldn't.
I'm sick that day.
If you could get like a bottle that looked like that, like the granite that blew out.
Oh,
the
top. Yeah.
Oh, the graphite.
Graphite. Yeah. Sorry.
What's with that graphite on the roof?
There's no graphite on the roof.
It's concrete. Let me tell you about something. I may not know a lot about graphite, but I know a lot
about explanation. I love their explanation is basically like, there's no way it's graphite. Because if it is graphite, we're all dead. it's like there's no way it's above 3. It's above 5 Ronkin or whatever. Well, because if it is,
I think the core exploded. Well, the core can explode. So think of something else.
Right. Excuse me. Definitely didn't explode. Because we're fucked.
Because I think it did. No, you don't understand. It can't. It can't. Okay.
Hi, I'm over here in Minsk, and there's graphite everywhere. Nope, no way. Can't
wake up.
It's more like Kiev. It's only about 20 miles from Kiev. It's really close.
I thought one of the labs was in Minsk, but I'm just
right.
Making
that's
that
the problem is that they were getting the radiation readings in Minsk, which is several hundred miles away.
That's what it was. The well, no, those have to be wrong.
That was where
the Americans. Like, remember that guy goes.
The troll-looking lady was.
Yeah. Remember her partner was like. The Americans? She's like, nah, dude, it's us. I just love how that was like a possibility for him.
Yeah.
It's a crazy world.
I think he was younger, right?
Yeah.
So the scales hadn't fallen off his eyes yet, I guess.
Right, true. Exactly. Gross, though. Quickly about the standings, real quick.
Yeah, standings. We can skip. Cousin Bailey is keen to go to the standings. He
wonder why.
Had a good week for everyone last week. Cousin Bailey and our wonderful guest Ron were both 5-1, and the rest of us were 4-2. That leaves us with total standings with pulling out to a 2-game lead, and the only team over, only person over 500 is Cousin Bailey at 27-26, followed by myself and Malt Liquor at 25-28, and pulling up the rear, his favorite place, Dr. Riffic at 24-29.
Don't worry, I'm telling you, parlay every bet. I'm going.
Well, if you have a good bet, you don't want to parlay it. So,
why not?
You throw it in there.
Doctor, I mean, if you win, do you want to switch from the Ronkin t-shirt to a St. Louis Battlehawks XFL t-shirt?
I saw that Brogan. Today when they – oh, man.
Brogan.
I believe my response to Quizza was, thanks, asshole. I'm now got a boner at work.
Brogan, well, can we explain why? Because maybe people didn't catch that joke.
Yeah, Brogan Roback will be for the Battlehawks.
XFL. Oh.
Do you see who's playing for the Tampa whatevers?
No, the Vipers.
No.
Love that. Doesn't Bailey's – or I'm sorry, Larry's favorite Georgia quarterback. Aaron Murray.
Oh, yeah. Wow. He's getting out of the booth, huh?
He's not in CBS Sports anymore, huh?
CBS B team or D team. I like it. Their name's the Vipers. I kind of like that.
I do like that.
Yeah, but
I'm not against it.
Is he your favorite or the guy from South Carolina, the yacht guy? No.
There's Austin Carter Samuels. He played at Vanderbilt. And
he also had a brother who played somewhere too, right?
Colorado State.
State,
and then there's their best bro, Blake Bortles.
Oh, guess who else will be playing in the XFL, Larry? One of your favorite Ohio State alums.
Oh, the greatest quarterback of all time.
Yes. Is he playing quarterback? Is he good enough to play quarterback in the XFL?
He's probably playing middle linebacker.
He'll be playing for the DC Defenders.
The leadership.
Cardale Jones.
Oh, Cardale. Oh,
that's not my favorite player.
Oh, yeah, no.
Oh, who am I thinking of?
I was thinking of I can't believe I've already forgotten him. He is forgettable. But
I forgot his name. Oh, God.
It starts with a B, right?
The guy who couldn't throw.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
He won the Heisman, right?
He was the perennial Heisman candidate until they finally lost.
Oh, right.
Barrett something?
Oh,
JT
yeah.
Barrett. He's a Stu Mandel's hero until they lost the game. And he'd go, I can't believe we believed in JT Barrett. And I'm like,
you motherfucker.
You believed in him. You believed in him.
And then he switched over to Brad Kaya. That was his guy for a while.
Oh, right. Yeah, what a winner he was.
Felicia. So, yeah.
Brad Kaya. It's ridiculous. All right. Games this week. I guess looking at the slate, though.
Solid.
Solid, but nothing great. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, first game is actually probably the best. UF at South Carolina. UF minus 6.5. South Carolina obviously coming off a really big win last week. They have very good defensive line and a very bad secondary. That's kind of the word on the street with South Carolina. They switched things up last week against Georgia. I think what Georgia does plays into South Carolina's hands a little bit because they just want to run the ball until you can't handle it. And when you're down and you're up against a good defense, it's hard to do that. And that's what happened to them against South Carolina, and they were forced to throw. And I think that's where South Carolina is probably better. But when you're in that middle ground where you're running and passing, I think it's proven all year long. South Carolina's given up some points to some teams, and they had 3 losses for a reason. It's because they don't handle that very well. This just in, I think despite Florida not having a great running game, the variability of our offense is good enough that we move the ball effectively, and we certainly can pass the ball. That's the difference in this game, honestly. I think this line would have been, say South Carolina loses to Georgia, I think this line's in the teens, and that's where it should be because this is a really bad matchup for South Carolina. I don't see them scoring many points against our defense, even if Falinski plays. Quite honestly, it's going to be a blowout, and it's my lock of the week. I'll take the Gators. This can be huge. This can be a big W. They're gonna win this game by 25-28 points. This is just a really bad matchup for South Carolina. I know South Carolina has good defensive line, but the rest of their defense is not very good, and their offense is pathetic. So this is just going to be a big W.
So I'm not quite that confident, but I think we're going to cover. Like you said, South Carolina, they do have a pretty solid front seven, but I don't think it's much better than LSU. I really have, again, it kind of comes back to coaching where I think Mullen versus Will is no matchup. And I think Grantham's going to be a bit embarrassed. And the defense, even though we're going to be without the ends, we're not going against an offensive juggernaut in South Carolina. So I look for us to bounce back and win. I think it's going to be more of a 14-point game, but I would love to see a huge blowout. That would be great. So, but this is quietly the biggest game of the year, you know. We just got to right the ship and then go into the Georgia-Mizzou round robin. Yeah, go into the bye week, and then we do the Georgia-Mizzou round robin, and hopefully get the inside track on the East.
Yeah, so one thing on the alignment before we get past it, I don't know if you know, one thing they were having trouble getting lined up, and it's not good, is that it's official that Marco Wilson's been moved into the slot, and they moved Trey Dean to the outside, and that's probably going to be the way they line up for the rest of the year. So,
Marco's playing nickel now.
Yep.
We were coming off a good loss, so like, you know, and I don't know, I sent you guys a picture the other today, but apparently at the game they're giving out, old lady glasses as like a little joke giveaway at the South, you know, in honor of Professor Will Muschamp, they were calling him, which just is so funny in all sorts of different ways.
No one's looked dumber with glasses
dumber
on.
With glasses on. I mean, that Helinski is pretty good from what I've seen, and apparently he's good to go.
He's banged up.
Might just be smoke and mirrors. Yeah, I can't imagine he's going to have the same, he's going to be in some limited capacity, he's going to be playing. But on our side, Trask and Emery, I thought, looked both great last week. And Mullen, I watched today's press conference, and I didn't watch the post-game press conference, but Mullen seemed to kind of take ownership for the shitty calls that he made. I hope he means that.
Of course he does. He's a man.
Not sure
he's
if he's smart. Just protecting. I mean, he might just be protecting his guys. Maybe they didn't execute. I don't know well enough. But, yeah, I mean, he definitely said they made some wrong calls. And so I hope that's sincere and they learn from that. All in all, I know UF is the better team this weekend. And despite those fuck ups by Mullen, I don't even need to say this. You guys have already said it, but it doesn't need to be said that Mullen is a better game day coach than Muschamp.
No. We saw it. We saw it.
We saw it firsthand. I like the Gators. I like them big, but probably not as much as Larry.
So just one thing on what Mullen said there. I can appreciate that rather than being the Kirby Smart and sort of defending a terrible decision, just being like, yeah, it was a bad call. I think it's better to just own it than trying to defend a terrible decision. It's just, you know, the fans are going to be like, you're stupid. You made a stupid call, but that's why they're fans and that's why you're the coach. You know, you're like, hey, I mean, people call bad games, dude. I didn't know that.
I guess it's easy to coach. It's easy for Will Muschamp to coach because if the game is close, keep it close as possible. No matter what opportunities you have, you'd rather win by 3 than you would 10. I think that's a fact.
And especially if you can do it trying a 58-yard field goal. Speaking of, did you notice? I mean, we've talked about this before, but I think we called it a paunch, but it's now like a full-on like fucking Buddha belly. That thing is like, it's growing faster than. Than anything I can think of.
Stress eats?
Oh my God, it's awful.
Well, you should listen to his press conference because I'll say this, even though he is a dumb game manager, he does seem like kind of a likable guy. In his press conference, they asked him if he was getting soft with the glasses, and he goes, nah, man, I'm still hard. And everybody just starts laughing. It was great.
You know what's interesting? When we were doing terribly and I had an emotional investment in his coaching ability, I didn't see that, but like you always heard like, you know, the reporters and to this day say he's one of the nicest or one of the, you know, one of their favorite coaches to cover.
Yeah, I can
he's
see
nice
why.
And this, that, and the other, but I'm just saying I never got a chance to really look at him like that because he was always the coach who was like yelling on the sidelines and losing close games and, you know, losing to Georgia Southern and things like that. So it's like I never gave him that kind of shot. But now that I, you know, don't have an emotional investment in his success or failure, I definitely see it. He definitely seems like a funny guy, like a, you know, person to hang out with.
He's playing for the – he plays by the any possession that ends in a kick is always the rule. Always.
Yeah. And the I heard there's this interesting rumor that if he does terribly, Foley may become the new athletic director there and try and drag this is obviously horseshit.
Jeremy Foley is like almost 70. Why would he do that?
I don't know. Maybe he's trying
South Carolina really want to like beef up their fucking girls lacrosse program.
That's exactly what I was. I was like, good, do it.
If so, then Foley's their guy.
Yep.
Absolutely.
So are you trying to imply that he was going to try and pull Mullen?
Meyer.
Meyer,
that would be his second job or his last job.
He'll never go
South. I agree. I'm just telling you what I heard on
that. Going Southern Cal.
Definitely.
Yeah. Write it down.
Yeah, because they don't care. They're a private school. They can handle it. Like, they can handle it.
Yeah.
They can pay players.
So, Mullicker, you had Florida. I had Florida. Who do you got, Professor Doctor?
Oh,
Professor Mullen. Yeah. There you go. Yeah, I'll be right back. I got to get a refill.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, so Cardinals kind of...
They're pouring it on a little bit.
Put up a crooked number. I saw the craziest shit. So I'm flipping around, and there's a 30 for 30 with Chuck and Tito, and it made me think about Chuck Liddell and Tito, whatever.
Ortiz.
There's some fucking sport where it's like... It's like a combination of arm wrestling and boxing where you just like hold each other's hand, like your right hand, like you arm wrestling. And then you just have to try to wail on each other and you can't let go. And you're standing around like basically like a high top.
Yeah.
And you're just like, it was the craziest shit I've ever seen.
Well, before you say that, have you seen like in Russia, they have like an armor league? Where these guys are wearing suits of armor and swinging swords and hammers at each other.
Is that on YouTube?
Yeah, you can find it on YouTube.
Or also
in Russia they have like MMA, but they have teams where like five guys are fighting five guys, and if somebody goes out, those two guys can now team up on one guy. This is fucking anarchy.
Sounds like Russia.
You mean like five guys fighting five, like fighting each other?
In a huge ring.
So yeah. All five against it's like Royal Rumble, but real?
No. No, they're all in it in the ring together and they're fighting each other. And then if like, you know, like I said, if one guy goes out, like those Royal two Rumble. Guys can now yeah.
That's what I meant, like Royal Rumble, right?
Yeah. Well, they no, in but Royal Rumble, they come in one at a time though.
Okay, well, back in the old days, there was like a but there was I remember at a time, what was the thing like when everybody was in the ring at once fighting? Was that just if Royal Rumble lasted?
No, that was only if they were doing a short. No, no. Cuz it's kind of right here. Sometimes they'll do a short Royal Rumble where everyone starts in the ring. That's okay.
Yeah, okay. But I'm just saying Royal Rumble always got like that though, right?
It
always
occasionally did, didn't it? Didn't it get to the point where there was like three or four or five? That's what I meant. I apologize. I should have been clear.
There'd be like 12 guys.
10 minutes into Royal Rumble, that's what it's like, but real. Got it.
Yeah.
Hey, and Larry, are you drinking Motorworks? Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Yeah, I just picked up their Oktoberfest at Rolling Oats today. I just opened it, so I'll let you know in 2-1. Yeah, it's good. It's actually tasty. It's very tasty.
Mm-hmm.
It's a Martin style lager.
That's what Oktoberfest is.
Yeah. I was saying that for everybody who didn't know. I have another one from Bell's in there, which I'll try.
I feel like the Marzins have like the highest. They're kind of like, they're always like, yeah, it's good.
It is. I got to say, though, there are some bad ones.
Yeah.
There are a few bad ones, but generally, they run all about the same. You know, I used to think like Sam Adams was the best one because it was like the only one that was out there. And then everybody started making one and they all kind of run together, like you're saying.
Yeah. Remember, was it Bex or was it Bex, Sam Adams Bex who would come up with the one that was like the winner of every year was the one that they
Sam
sold.
Adams. The Bex Sam made Adams one too.
Yeah. Bex Dark.
Ugh.
I haven't had a Bex.
Bex regular. Bex regular is fine, but actually Bex started making the beer here. Like even on the label, if you looked, it was like made in the United States.
What?
We still tasted the same. I always like Bex. Actually, I like Bex better than Heineken. So,
I haven't had a Bex in forever. I'm sure I liked it.
Yeah, I like a Bex. I think I had one when I was playing golf once. They had like Bex, and I was like, "That's a weird thing to have," and I definitely want it. So,
they had super cheap when I was up in Canada. Moosehead. Back of that.
That's good.
That was good.
They have it at Publix. Oddly, here in like at like you know. Just the Publix around here, they have like the 4-pack of 16-ounce Mooseheads.
Yeah.
It's a strong move.
Mooseheads, yeah, that's huge ones.
You know, the one on Euclid or the one on Neptune?
I go to Neptune, but I do go to the one by your house as well sometimes.
Gandhi?
Yeah, I don't like the one at on Euclid at all.
Yeah, that one sucks.
Neptune's got that fucked up parking lot, as I recall, right? It's just by Bayshore.
Britain Plaza, I don't like it.
Yeah. That's the one I used to go to when I worked in South Tampa.
The one on Platt.
Oh, is that the one?
Yeah, that's the one.
We go there, like, you know what, at Gasparilla. That's where we go and get our beer.
Yeah.
Right on Platt.
That one sucks.
Yeah, you don't want to go to that. It's just, yeah, that's all in the heart of it. But the one on Neptune's the best. Small parking lot. The one on Himes by you is second best.
Yeah.
They built a new one here on 4th Street.
Mm-hmm.
On 38th Avenue, where the old pub, or the old Albertsons was.
Yeah, they built it right across the street from Publix. There's two Publixes right across the street.
I know, but this one's brand new. It was brand new like 4 years ago, but it's nice.
They're building one right across from West Shore, where that Sports Authority was too. That one should be nice.
Yeah, well, that still will be a little farther from me, but I'll probably end up going there. But it's nice that they're building it there. They're redoing all of West Shore Plaza. They're like making it into like outward facing and it's gonna be all like apartments and like mixed use. It's gonna be really nice. I mean, it's already kind of nice. It's just they're gonna redo it because you know they lost all of their anchor tenants and they don't need two malls within half a mile of each other. So
have you guys ever been to Wiregrass up in Wesley Chapel?
Yeah,
it's kind of similar to the St. John's Town Center in Jacksonville. It's it's all like all the stores opened out and they had. And both places had this Mexican place called the Cantina Laredo. Has anyone ever been to one of those?
No.
They're so good. It's like, you know, tableside guac and queso. It's not an outlet mall, but it's like, I mean, it had really nice stores, and then it had like, you know, it was the St. Johnstown Center is huge. The Wireglass, I don't know if it's as big, but it's got like very nice stores, and then also like, you know, like a Brooks Brothers and that ilk, and then, you know, obviously a little lower, a little higher, but then like Clark's for shoes, things like that, or Johnson and Murphy, and then, like I said, Mexican place, so good.
Good. If you like that, then you should go to Rocco's Tacos. They do the tableside guac. It's good. It's a little pricey for Mexican food, honestly.
Yeah, but that's the same with this place. It was like only when Mrs. Cousin Bailey would come visit me at law school would we go there. It was definitely a kind of a suit. Well, for people who like Mexicans, special occasion.
Well, you don't have to go all the way out to Wesley Chapel. This is an international plaza, so you'll be okay.
Fantastic. We're gonna have to go there then. I'm glad to hear it. I actually had one in Nashville. Same awesome. Dallas Airport, same thing, awesome. And we're actually going to Nashville, and I stupidly am disappointed that it's closed. Obviously, there's a million other places to go.
I'd be remiss if I didn't mention that this episode is sponsored by Cantina Laredo, or whatever this place is called. You've been there a million times.
I've been there a million times. Hey, listen, if you want tableside guac and wonderful queso, Cantina Laredo is your place.
Wherever the Cantina Laredo in South Chicago is. Consistency. That's the key with Cantina Laredo.
Oh my God, I just realized what's happening. Yes. I'm sorry. I got a little, little tail there, a little tangent.
Well, it's okay.
This was not a fake advertising. No, it's a real place.
It does sound like a fake one, though. Cantina Laredo would be like a name if you made up a name for just a fake Mexican place. It's perfect.
Telling you,
right?
Telling you, it's real.
It could be anything. A Danny McBride show. Oh, let's go to Cantina Laredo.
Yeah. It could be like Cantina El Paso, Cantina Amarillo. It doesn't really matter. Just fit in some Hispanic name town.
I'm sorry, guys. It works. It's real, but I agree. This sounds ridiculous.
Cantina Las Cruces.
Cantina Laredo.
There you go.
Cantina de Tucson.
I sent you all the... Yeah,
exactly. I'm not going to Cantina de los Muertos. I'm telling you that much.
How about this? They have one in DFW Airport Terminal B and DFW Terminal D, Love Field, Dallas, and Fort. So they've got five of them.
You don't need to read the copy here, bro. You're good.
Oh my God, they have one in Abu Dhabi.
Of course they do. Yeah, it's much more interesting than Auburn at Arkansas. So have at it.
Yeah. Next game, Auburn at Arkansas. My Hogs covered against Kentucky. Kind of blew it. They had a 13-point lead and gave up 400 yards rushing. That I forget his name, but not Sawyer Smith.
Lynn Bowden.
Lynn Bowden. Is he Caucasian or?
No, he's their wide receiver. He was playing quarterback, dude.
Oh, right. So yeah, not Caucasian. 400 yards. Auburn coming off a bye week, licking their wounds. After losing to the Gators.
I was just saying that's right. Sorry. I was just chiming in.
The only thing that makes me a little bit worried about this number, I mean, Arkansas is playing better, I guess. But I just think if you give up 400 yards on the ground at Kentucky, that's not a good sign going against Auburn. The one thing that makes me a little bit nervous about this number is that Bo Nix just – doesn't seem like a guy that can throw when you know he's going to throw. But I don't think that's going to matter. I think Auburn's going to come back off the bye week and take the victory and cover the 16.5.
Mm. Yeah, I'm with you. Arkansas is the second worst team in the SEC, which is not a compliment because the worst is Vandy, which we'll get to, a team that got blown out by UNLV. Arkansas is really bad. Chad Morris has yet to win an SEC game. That's kind of embarrassing. And they got beat by a Kentucky team, which is just all kinds of banged up, playing a wide receiver at quarterback that can't throw. So let's just equalize that to Auburn, who has a much better defense than Kentucky. And, you know, probably maybe not a better running game, but I'd say Bo Nix is a better thrower than Lynn Bowden. So this game's got blowout painted all over. I mean, is Arkansas going to score? Not sure about that. So I'll take Arkansas, or excuse me, Auburn minus the points.
Yeah, like I kind of last week Vegas nailed the Florida LSU line, but sometimes, yep. as we all know, like they set a line high to see what kind of money they can get from the other side to keep betting it up and betting it up or betting it down. Like 2 weeks ago, before Auburn played Florida, I would have taken zero time to make this pick, and I would have picked. And even now, I like to immediately pick whoever is playing an SEC. Or whatever SEC team is playing, either Arkansas or Vanderbilt. I mean, it seems like a hard and fast rule, but with Auburn's running back, Whitlow is going to be out for an extended period of time. So I guess they're going to go by a running back with committee. And so now you have to find out how Bo Nix is going to rebound after like that freshman-like performance against Florida, albeit our defense was playing phenomenally that game. I don't know. I'm just going to take Auburn because I can't rely on Arkansas to do anything positive right now. So, that over-under seems pretty good. So I think
I kind of like the under.
Me too.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
Seems a little right. But I'm going to take Auburn on the road at Arkansas.
For our listeners, it's 54.5, the total.
How about that? Yeah. What do you like, Doctor?
Sweep it.
There you go. Well, speaking of last week's game, LSU's traveling to Mississippi State, and they are laying 18.5 with a 62-point over-under. Last week, Mississippi State lost to Tennessee, period, and that's all I'm going to say about them. LSU, king, god, champion, best team that's ever played. We had our chances last week, but I'm not going to take anything away from how well Joe Burrow and that offense played. I mean, they ran right through us. And I'm not saying that is total, I was not expecting that. Let's just say that. I think their defense can be susceptible to like a really good offense, which I think we have, but they can always like outscore their opponents. And I think that's a circumstance we may be getting into in this, like just blowing out Mississippi State. If last week's game wasn't so emotional, like sometimes, there's a team will face a letdown the next week. I'd say this would be my lock, but I'm not going to go that far. I'm going to say LSU's. I am going to take LSU, but this is the kind of line 18.5 where I could see Mississippi State like backdoor covering late, but I'm still going to take Mississippi State, but I'm not going to lock it necessarily.
Yeah. I like LSU big in this one. Mississippi State looks like they're going to start. Mississippi State looks like they're going to start Schrader, who sucks.
Yeah.
And Tennessee at one point in the game last week ran the ball 14 straight times, and they still won 20-10. Mississippi State is reeling. I know this game's at home. They're going to try to get up for it. But are they going to really be up after they go down 21-0? Or, they have to score every possession. That's the problem. And they can't do it. There's no way that offense can do it. LSU's defense, I think Florida played really good to make them look kind of bad. I still think their defense is okay. So this line seems low. It just seems very, very low. So give me LSU minus 18.5. And quite honestly, I could see them scoring into the 40s. But my question is, I'm not sure about the over-under at 62 because I'm not sure how much Mississippi State's going to score. They scored 10 points against Tennessee.
Right.
Yeah. Yep.
So this is making me nervous. Not only is this going to be the third consecutive favorite to cover, but I think we've all agreed thus far. I view Mississippi State the way I have the assessment because I took them last week and they lost, and I'm just in fuck you mode like I was with Vanderbilt. I think they're terrible. I think their coach is in over his head. This is a CBS game, so it's not like LSU is going to be. I don't expect them to be flat, and I think this is a low number, and I expect I expect LSU to roll. I think they could be up 20 at halftime. I will take the Tigers.
I'll one up you there. They could be up 30 at halftime.
Yeah, doctor.
Oh, I'm taking LSU, and this is my Carpenter, Sean, death pick, Cousin Daly.
Nope. No,
double
the number.
Double
death. Not a double. There's no such thing as a double death pick. No.
Oh, yes,
it is. There's no such thing as a double death pick.
Sir.
You can't double stamp it off.
Yeah. No, remember, you can't triple stamp a double stamp, Lloyd. You can't triple stamp a double Lloyd.
Okay. From Dumb and Dumber for all
you. The reason I can make a double pick because I'm locking a double lockdown on the under.
Oh, yeah, it's true. The double, double, double.
Yep.
Holy shit. Yep. An advertisement for Dumb and Dumber just came on TV while I'm trying to watch the game. That's insanity right there.
That's Amazon.
Yeah, that's somebody fucking listening.
All right. So moving on here to Crapfest, Missouri in their usual 4 o'clock game that nobody watches. Missouri at Vanderbilt.
They just keep winning.
Missouri, yeah, keep winning, looking pretty good. -21.5 at Vandy. So I'm not sure that it would make a difference to me if this line was 26 or 28 or 29. I have to take Missouri here. I just would it surprise me if Vandy somehow backdoored this? I don't know. Maybe it probably would be a little surprising, but honestly, I don't necessarily expect them to score. And you just cannot count on them after what's going on with that team. I mean, you just cannot count on them scoring points or stopping people. So this number, you have to say, my view is you have to take Missouri in this game. So give me Missouri -21.5. They're a team that can move the ball. They have good defense, and Vanderbilt is one of the worst teams in college football. They got the doors blown off them by UNLV. Who's at what, like top five worst or lowest five worst team in the country? Come on, man. This can be bad.
I completely agree. In fact, this is my lock of the week. I feel like Vanderbilt should be treated like an FCS team at this point. And there's
a bad
no home,
FCS team.
Yeah. There's no home field advantage. You know, I mean, this compared to Laramie in early September, this is like a walk in the park. And Mizzou's a good team. They and Kelly Bryant, I think I said it last week. He's not a bad quarterback. He was never bad at Clemson, serviceable, and he's a good college quarterback. So that's a whole lot more than Vandy's got. So I'm taking Mizzou.
So yeah, speaking of locks of the week, this is mine. I mean, thank you, Vandy, for Nashville and some degrees from family members, but see your way out. I'm tired of this freaking team. The one thing I have to wonder is, like, I know Derek Mason hasn't exactly like overperformed, but is this the worst they've been? I can't remember. Like, what were they like last year, the year before? Do they have any?
Oh, this is by far the worst they've been.
Have they had any modicum of success?
In a while. In a while, as bad as they
did. Okay, so I guess he's probably, you know, safe for a little while longer. He seems to be running a decent program, except for
the end.
You think this is it for him? I mean, who are they going to get, though? That's what I'm just saying. Like, I guess that's true. That's not that's your pet peeve, right?
Oh, I don't think it's necessarily a Derek Mason problem. It's just they don't invest in their program. And he's probably better off going somewhere else, honestly.
Yeah. Well, anyways, this is my lock of the week. I'm taking Missouri big.
So per the S&P rankings, Vanderbilt's 94th, okay? So I'm scanning down at who's below them and if there's any other Power 5 team below them. Colorado State, they're not.
No, that's mid. That's Mountain West. How about Rutgers?
Rutgers is 97. I skipped over them, so yeah, they're worse.
Trying to think of somebody in the Big 12 that's not very good, but it's no one's like super bad. Like even Kansas is better this year.
Yeah, so the next one up from them, so Vandy's 94, Georgia Tech is 86.
Yep, they're bad.
And Kansas is 78. So yeah, wow, yeah, they're terrible. They haven't been this bad in a while.
Yeah, it's really bad. I mean, that's like at the back end at 1A. So, I mean, you start looking at the teams that are below them, and you got a lot of direction, and you got a lot of Sun Belt, and some whack.
They're 1-5, and their one win is a 6-point victory over Northern Illinois.
It's not the Salukis, right? It's a different one. Salukis is Southern Illinois.
Yeah, Northern Illinois, that's dog, too. The Huskies.
The Huskies. I like the Salukis better. It's more fun.
Yeah.
All right, so everybody's on. So it looks like Professor's also taking Mizzou.
Another SWIP.
Yes, sir.
This is a fucking weird week. I mean,
I think we're going to get some differential coming up through the next ones.
Equations.
All right. So Kentucky at Georgia. Kentucky is a 25-point underdog to Georgia, who, as we alluded to earlier, shit the bed in at home against Columbia. Jake Fromm threw three interceptions, one for a touchdown to the same guy. And they basically just completely shit the bed. Their coach proved that he's a terrible game manager. Pretty big number at first glance, but I feel like this is a great matchup for Georgia. You're dealing with a Kentucky team that it's, as Larry said, playing a quarterback or a wide receiver at quarterback, and I think they're going to be looking to prove a point and try to prove that last week was a quote-unquote. And, you know, South Carolina, their defensive line is probably top 20 in the country. I don't think Kentucky is that good. And I think they're going to wear down against Georgia. They're not going to score. They might score 6 points in this game. So I think Georgia's going to wear them down and open it up and cover this big number. I really like the under, though. The total's at 51.5. I think this is like a 35-3 type game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That sounds right. And you say that, you know, this, you really like Georgia in this matchup. You better. It's 25 points. That's from what I've seen against Georgia the last 2 weeks. I know that they beat Tennessee. They sort of came back and they scored that late touchdown on them, but they wouldn't have covered that Tennessee game up. They lost last week to a South Carolina team that was 2-3. I'm just not sure where we can grab in the fact that they're going that Georgia is going to pound, you know, middle strength teams into the ground like nails. I understand they want to and they need to for the benefit of their team. I just don't see that in like the results the last few weeks. You know what I mean? And, you know, they were down to Tennessee. And what's the difference between Tennessee, South Carolina, and Kentucky's offense? And I think Sawyer Smith's going to play this week. Well, they're all terrible and they all were up on Georgia, you know, for a good part of the first half. And then one of them was up for the whole game. So I just, you know, I agree. I think Georgia's is a good matchup for them. I just don't think they got the horses to do this. And Kentucky's not a horrible team. 25 points is crazy. This line should be in the teens, and then I would like it more. But if you want to ride Georgia to 25-point victories over teams that are above, you know, average to above average, good luck with that. You're going to be sweating this one out to the end. That's the way I look at it. So I just can't pull the trigger on this, especially not with Sawyer Smith, who's not great, but at least he can throw the ball. Honestly, I think this game will be close into the third quarter.
Yeah, I can see. Sorry.
That's some difference. That's good.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm looking at. I've got a pick, but first I just want to say this. I would love to see the video of the Bulldog locker room after last week's loss. You know how I feel about Kirby Smart. He looks like a toddler. Or like a 9-year-old who like that haircut, that dumb look on his face, you know, the chubbiness. He just looks kind of like a little kid to me, like in a man's body. And like, yeah, I'm just picturing him running around with all the towels and the shampoo, yelling in like that high pitched voice and saying, "Everything's mine and I'm going home." And who took my trains? I love thinking about it. It just makes me laugh so hard.
It's the haircut. It sets it all off. It's the haircut
with like the squinty eyes. There's just something about like his child look, cherub face.
Jowls.
Kentucky beat Arkansas last week. Yay. I mean, but they beat him by 4. And Arkansas is terrible. I mean, so like, I could definitely see Georgia winning by 3 touchdowns. I know they want to do more. They're embarrassed. This is awesome. This is quintessential Georgia. Their Twitter account went dark after they scored the tying touchdown, like late in the game or something like that, you know, in order to like make it 17-17. And their football Twitter account did not tweet again for 24 hours. It was amazing. I just loved it. It was just so like exactly what I feel like Kirby Smart was the one operating it, you know. I don't want anyone tweeting. I'm going to take Kentucky, but I would not be surprised if Georgia, like, you know, is forced to, like, you know, like, remember when Florida State lost to Notre Dame in 93 and that white receiver was
Matt
like
Fryer.
Big? Matt Fryer. begging to the voters.
Give us a chance, please. Oh. Give us another chance.
I feel like this is Georgia. That's Georgia, just personified, like the football team personified in one moment.
And then Notre Dame loses to a good Boston College team at Boston College. Glenn Foley, a pro quarterback, and they get left out of the national title game because Florida State's whatever.
What was that name? What was the quarterback?
Glenn Foley. Glenn Foley.
The last thing I want to say is this is not a plug, but speaking of Georgia, it is just so funny the SEC shorts for this week about their game last week. They're trying to hide the. It was just along the in the same vein as what I was describing just then. So, anyways, I'm going to take Kentucky, but I would not be surprised to see Georgia begging to the voters.
I noticed that speaking of the voters, I just noticed that we're ninth and they're tenth.
Yeah,
somehow Notre Dame is in front of us.
the logic doesn't necessarily make sense.
They edged out that ridiculously amazing USC team. That's terrible. At home, but yeah.
I gotta get another beer.
Doctor. Beer.
Sorry, I forgot.
No, that's okay. I'll take the kitty cats.
Times of the dogs.
I'm the lone wolf with me. Yeah. I gotta put red black on.
You ride that Georgia train.
that minus 25 Georgia train.
Go for it.
That's big enough.
It is.
That's four touchdowns, buddy.
Yeah.
What do you think about that over under?
I want no part of it.
What is it?
51.5.
Yeah, I feel like that's close.
I'm feeling under.
I hope it's over.
If
Georgia won 25-17, would you be shocked?
Okay. No.
Sorry.
Okay, so we, I think, Cousin, you talked about stupid looks on their face, which, I mean, Mark Stoops and Kirby is good, but they got nothing on Matt Luke versus Jimbo Fisher.
Oh my God, you're right, man. Matt Luke is like a game changer when it comes to this category.
What?
I'm the coach.
Ole Miss, mowing lawns last week. A 5-point underdog to A&M. A&M looks good at all this year.
No.
In any game.
No.
They made a comeback against Auburn.
Again, but they were down like 20 points, dude.
Yeah. No, I know. I turned it off, and then I'm surprised they made the comeback.
But I really hate Ole Miss, too. They did some things against Mizzou. From what I've heard, they kind of are working this dual quarterback. I have not seen one play as a freshman. Apparently, he's like electric as a runner.
Plumlee.
And then when they need to throw, they bring in Corral. I don't trust A&M. That's kind of where I stand here. And
on the road,
they barely beat Arkansas on a neutral site. Ole Miss isn't terrible.
Nope.
So I'll take the points. I would not be shocked if A&M got their shit together because everyone thinks they're super talented. And Jimbo's a national title coach, but, I wouldn't be shocked if A&M covered, but I'm not going to lay 5 on them. I'll take the Rebs.
I see very little difference between these two teams. And I'm taking Ole Miss. I think they can win this game. So if they're getting 5 points, I like it. It's at home. It's at night. I mean, I know that Ole Miss isn't like some raucous crowd, but I just could feel like A&M getting down. You know, I know they have the miraculous Jimbo Fisher, but he doesn't have, you know, Brett Favre Jr. playing on his team yet. So he's going to be okay. He's not there.
Yeah.
And Ole Miss has covered every game this year, so I'm taking the Rebs.
So you'd get 2-1 on the money line.
I'll take it. Woo. I'd take that over. I'd take that over betting A&M.
Because?
Hey, sorry.
I'd definitely Larry, take plus 200.
Larry.
Sir, you turn your radio down.
You just don't get it, do you?
Oh, God.
A&M is not built to win last year or this year or next year, okay? You didn't hire and you're not paying – stop it. You're not paying Jimbo Fisher $10 million a year to win last year, this year, or the next year, okay? So just everyone just hold off, okay? 2021, A&M is going undefeated twice. They're going to play their each game twice just to prove to everyone they can do this. And then they're going to win the national championship by 60 points with the Heisman Trophy winner, whatever his name is.
And the Super Bowl.
Let's just calm down with this criticism of Jimbo, okay? Anyways, but seriously, A&M did hang in there a little bit with Bama last year, and thankfully they lost by a respectable and thankfully spread covering 19.
Still living off that, huh?
Loving life. Ole Miss, aside from giving up the 23 points off 24 plays in 9 minutes of the third quarter to Missouri, actually looked decent and only lost by 11. So, I mean, they had a horrendous third quarter, but still only lost by 11, giving up 23.
Scored 13 points in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, exactly. I think against Kentucky or Arkansas, they would kick ass this weekend. And A&M is basically your – oh, this is something I noticed earlier, or I've been thinking about rather earlier. A&M is basically your SEC definition of 3.6 Rutgen.
They are.
They're not great. They're not terrible. They're just enough to kill you from the inside out. And so I'm going to go with the Rebs as well.
I feel like I feel like Ole Miss is the same thing. They're not great and not terrible. Yeah. It's the same. Essentially the
this
same team.
This is like two Geiger counters that go to five. Collided.
Except Matt Luke hired, you know, two good coaches to be part of his team. Yeah, that seems to be the and then he's got you know, I don't know. Yeah, he's got Three Stooges playing on his headset during the game. He's good.
Exactly. Because I always look so confused because he just doesn't get the point.
I think it's the brain damage.
That's probably it too. It's sad but true.
Hey, look, nobody goes 35 and 34 and then boxing, you know, it doesn't walk out with a little screws loose.
Yeah.
Real quick, I'm drinking the Bell's Oktoberfest. It's a Marson, believe it or not.
Actually, the Bell's Oktoberfest is not as good as you would expect it to be. It's okay.
No, the Motorworks is like a million times better.
Motorworks has good beer generally.
Yeah, also, wow. I'm actually really disappointed.
I enjoy their entire catalog, Motorworks.
Actually, the one that Malt Liquor was drinking earlier, Hidden Springs, has really good beer, too.
Yeah. You know, you were saying Bell's is not as good as I think, just as I was taking a sip, so I hope it didn't – I don't think it – I get that. I get that feeling. It's not as good as I would have expected.
It's just not. You know, it's like you buy it, you're like, ooh, Bell's makes an Oktoberfest, and then you have it. And again, I think it probably goes to Malt Liquor's point. There's a real middle ground, you know. There's a little above it, a little below it, but it's I think it's hard to make sort of I don't know.
I should have told super I could have been able to tell about them.
Oktoberfest, you know, Marzen style beer.
Yeah, all those like malt forward beers are kinda like the same, I think.
Yeah. It's like a red ale. They're all the same.
Yeah. Not that I wouldn't finish it, but I don't think I'm gonna be getting it again.
Not that I ever want to drink any red ale, but they all suck.
Red dog.
It's red, well, not red dog. Red dog's crap. Yeah. It's not red beer.
I know. Like
red ales. They're all like.
What was the red ale that was like? Remember, like the dog.
Killian's.
It was like Irish red.
Actually, I think Killian's is better than every like sort of red ale on the planet, even by good breweries. Just because a regular red ale, that's not what Killian's is. So.
What were the pitchers of the $5 pitchers? Remember, they were just giving them away for all those. Was Honey Brown?
No,
the dog. Was it Honey Brown? They had like promotion. Remember for a while, Yingling. I'd never even heard of it, but it was like.
Yingling was huge. Huge.
Yeah.
Our last year.
Huge.
Yeah. And then Honey Brown was the $5 pitchers. I mean,
I like red IPAs. Like a good red IPA is really good. Like the Green Flash or
I think I need to try that. I don't know any.
The Tokabaga from the Garden.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I'll look that one up.
You can get that at Publix.
Yeah, you can. Good. Thanks for the tip.
Tokabaga.
So here's my question to you guys. If I told you an SEC head coach reached out to us and wanted to be interviewed, out of all the head coaches in the SEC, who are you picking?
Oh, that's a good question.
Who do you think would accept it and be on our podcast?
So can they hang up at any time, or do they have to
endure?
No.
So we'd have to be nice. Saban and I like insult him. That would be pretty epic.
But I'm saying like, what coach do you think would lower themselves to come on our podcast?
Not Luke. First of all,
probably Mason at Vanderbilt.
I think he's got a little too much self-respect. Yeah.
Mason's got too much self-respect.
But we'd be the only, if we called Mason, it'd be the only phone call he got for like a week.
Oh, I'm sure his parents call him.
Well, I mean, like, from media.
Gotcha.
But I'll take Ole Miss.
Who would you want, though? Who would you want to interview? And yes, with your stipulation.
No, there's not a question. There's not a question. It's Ogeron.
Oh, that's good.
Of course.
Yeah.
What's interesting? Yeah, this game, this weekend aside, I wouldn't mind. I guess, you know what? I'd probably rather live interview Muschamp and have some beers with him. But, yeah, Ogeron.
No, I'd rather have beers with him.
But I'm saying if the person was compelled to answer and due to the stipulation presented by Malt Liquor could not hang up for a set number of minutes, I think, yeah, I mean.
Heyman.
If exactly, but he'd have to be compelled to answer, not Belichick us.
That's a ridiculous question.
Listen. I don't know what y'all are thinking.
Are you calling him Nick or Coach? What are you calling him if we got that interview?
If he has to answer, I'll be like, Nick, what are you? Yeah. It's rat poison.
Like the least interesting is like a tie between Barry Odom, Dustin Malzahn, and probably Mason.
I'll tell you what, if we were serious about this.
No, Moorhead. Sorry, Moorhead.
Moorhead, yeah.
Listen, if we were serious about this podcast and we really cared about X's and O's, Malzahn would be someone to talk to. I think he knows a lot about that stuff. Like he's got a very, I don't want to say complicated. Right now. But he's got a very interesting offense.
Yeah, but I'd very fluid. I'd rather talk.
Definitely, 100%. Yeah, because the proof's in the pudding, kind of thing. see, Pruitt would get too emotional, or Moorhead. Those guys would probably cry because we'd probably like break them. Who else is in the? Oh, Chad Morris would be fucking the lame duck.
Oh, that would be a bad one.
Yeah.
I wouldn't
have lame duck. Just a dead, like a lame, like just lame.
Yeah, I couldn't even, what do you even say to that guy? So,
it's like you went from Clemson to SMU, and SMU is doing better now than they were with you, and you got an SEC job. So why doesn't Arkansas just hire the guy that is currently coaching SMU?
Yeah. So who would you not want to interview?
Chad Morris.
I'm going Kirby.
If it was under Malt Liquor stipulations, compelled to answer and compelled to stay on the line, I'd love to know. I'd love to make fun of Kirby.
After how much he paid for his haircut.
Kirby, if we took your trains right now, would you be able to get out of bed and go to school?
Perfect. Peel surprise winner right there.
Thank you very much.
Who are the other coaches?
Who am I forgetting? Oh, great.
The coaches?
Would be pretty terrible.
Nah, I got up to get a beer.
Stoops would be terrible.
So we asked two questions while you were gone. One, who would you, if we could interview any SEC coach?
No, I'm in with Orgeron. I already said that.
Okay. And who would you least want to interview?
Chad Morris.
That's a bad one. I wouldn't even know what to say. So, Chad, how's Fayetteville? Red and white, huh? That's good colors. That would be what it's like. Hey, at least you're not Bobby.
Oh, God.
So I just realized I've got three Bell's beers in this random pack I've created. So this is the official, have you guys had it? Bell's?
No.
Hazy IPA?
Mm. Yeah, I've had that. It's pretty good.
I like hazy. I'm a fan of hazy IPAs. And I was like, oh, there it says it on the can. So I had to do my own selecting this time. Lev wasn't at the Rolling Oats today.
Divrick.
I can't remember his name. I don't know what this is going on.
Blossom Flavin.
Robbie. So,
Robbie.
So what did
it's not
yeah.
spelled like Robbie.
So name one more coach. Moorhead, we said. Boring as fuck, no doubt.
I think we got him all. That guy's a hero.
Derek Mason.
We covered them all.
Well, we said Derek would be happy to take the call. Yeah.
He would.
Actually, he seems like a nice guy. I'd love to chat with him, but yeah.
No doubt. All right. I think we've filibustered enough going into third Saturday in October here. Tennessee at Bama.
This is what football's all about.
Bama minus 35.5. This is a big line. I'm not saying that Bama can't cover it. Obviously, we both know where these two teams are at. Tennessee looked like they had a little life last week. Bad news is, looks like Morris iffy to play this week. You know, he got a concussion. He's going through the protocol. Not sure. I'm not saying, like, if he played, they'd win or anything. They certainly would not. But after, as I mentioned earlier in the podcast, after Moore went out, this is how much they have faith they had in Guarantano. They ran the ball 13 times in a row. That's what happened after he came in. It's not a lot of confidence in Jarrett. You know,
that's not hyperbole, is it? That's for real.
That's for real, Skis.
Oh God.
You know, Bama's going to get their points here. How many points? I think the question remains how many points Tennessee gets. And by the way, this is not surprisingly, this is the biggest line in the history of the series.
Is it really?
Yes. 35.5? Yes.
I'm not surprised it is, but I mean, I'm just like,
this is a line that's usually reserved for, like, you know, Bama versus Appalachian State, right? Or something like that. I gotta say,
UAB.
Do I think that there is an immense talent advantage in all of that in this game going on? I do. Do I think Bama's going to win by 35.5 points? I do not. This line is insane. This is just crazy. I actually think it gets worse if Bama gets up early. I think that leaves some breathing room for Tennessee to backdoor it. So,
yeah.
Something tells me they're going to get a 7 spot on the board. That means 42 is not going to do it. Is Bama going to score 49? 49-14 doesn't do it. Yeah, I'll take the 35.5 points. Again, this is one of those things where it's like, you know, do you feel really good about taking Tennessee in this game? And I'm like, I kind of actually do. That's a lot of points. Looked less than horrible last week. So give it to me. Give me the 35.5 and covering up the third Saturday in October, not letting the worst line in the history of them beat them. So I'll take Tennessee, and it's at home. I mean, I thought it was. It's not. It's at Bama. It doesn't help, but I'm not so sure that it matters.
Well, Jeremy Pruitt says that Maurer's fine, but he's not a neurologist.
He's going through the concussion protocol.
Is he even a head?
Yeah. I'm with you, Larry. This is just a really big number. I think Tennessee's going to try to keep it. They're going to try. The way Bama covers this number is if Tennessee just completely shits the bed, turns the ball over a bunch, and I think they're going to try to, like, keep it relatively, you know, lead the clock and try to. They're not going to try to win the game. They're just going to try not to get embarrassed. So I think based on that, I'll take advantage of the 5-touchdown head start here.
That won't even do it. You still get the hook.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. So Tennessee with the huge-ish win last weekend against Mississippi State. I mean, you know, huge because they desperately needed one, and ish because of Mississippi State. I don't think anyone on earth thinks that Bama's going to lose this game. And I think their defense is going to bury the Volunteers. The Nats got out of the inning. And the over-under, I think, seems kind of funny because I really think this could be like a, you know, I can see it being close to this number. 49-10 is what I'm looking at. But at the same time, like, this is a humongous number, 35.5. And something that Larry said really kind of rang true, and I hope I'm giving the right credit because last week I know I cited Larry, but it was malt liquor. But you said that, like, Bama getting out to an early lead, an early huge lead, could actually open the door for the backdoor cover. And I think that's something that, like, you know, we can look to. Georgia obviously kind of showed their stripes yet last week. So them being, you know, struggling with Tennessee early and then pulling away might not be as big of a deal from the Tennessee point of view as it is from the Georgia point of view. Also, I saw a meme the other day that showed a picture of Tua when he was a child. And the meme said that, this child was and he was a child the last time Tennessee beat Bama. And that tracks. It was like 12-plus years ago. It's a long time. This game is not going to be in contention, but I do think Tennessee is probably going to keep it slightly closer than the 35.5. And I think Tennessee losing by 30 does not make them good by any stretch. There we go.
So what do you think your odds are if you bet Tennessee to win?
That's my bet.
No, to win. It's got to be it's over 10 to 1.
No. 25.
2500.
So it's plus 2500.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So if you bet $1,000, you'd get 2.5 million. I think that's a loser bet.
I'm carding everybody on Bama.
Bama's minus 9,000.
Wait a second. If you bet $1,000, you get 25 grand. It's 25 to 1. 2500 is 25 to 1. It's not 250.
Oh, yeah.
Hold there, bro. You don't give up like that.
I got excited.
Because you would go put money on Tennessee at that point, right?
I'd bet a dollar.
Sure. What was
you'd have to literally go break Tua's arms and legs.
What was and then the backups. What was and Knicks. What would you have won if you had bet South Carolina last week? That was probably 12 to 1?
Yeah, no, it's 2,500 is probably about 9 to 1. It's about 9, 10 to 1.
I want to see if can you go back on.
Yeah, you can go week 7.
Because what was the other big upset that paid off big time? There's one earlier. Let me look back. And I said, wouldn't be surprised. It was San Jose State. That was a big one. Yep. That was
San Jose or San Diego?
It was San Jose.
Gosh.
Yeah. Because that one, that was like a real big one.
Doesn't matter.
San Jose State was plus 21, and that was like 10 to 1. So.
Who'd they beat?
Arkansas.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Maybe there was one other one that was like in that range too earlier this year.
Appalachian State beat North Carolina, but I don't know how big if that's a huge deal.
Appalachian State's ranked.
Now they are.
So Alabama's money line's minus 12.5. Honestly, I feel like just bet their money line. There's no way they lose.
Right. It's just horrible odds, right? You get paid $10 on a $100, like you'd win $10 on a $100 bet.
So quiz.
Put a grand down, you win $100.
Okay.
There's no chance that they lose.
I agree. It's like one of those bets you go to the casino and probably it's like I'm not saying it's obviously the don't pass line is worse odds than that, but it's like one of those bets you hate. Like people like would be like, why are you making that bet? And you're like, you walk away with $200.
Yeah, make a bar tab.
So the line last week for South Carolina was plus 1,000.
Oh wow!
And does that mean you get $1,000,000 if you bet down 100?
No, it's 10 to 1.
I'm kidding. I'm sorry. Just being a
joke. It was much like the San Diego, so it's 10 to 1.
Just kidding.
No, you're getting 2.5 times.
So basically the most you could make at a casino if you made that bet, malt liquor, is $200 because you'd have to bet $2,000, and that's pretty much the biggest bet most casinos take. So, right? I mean, online gambling, I'm sure they're the ones that take, but like on the strip – it's about $2,000, I think. That's about the biggest bet they take.
Didn't one of our friends, he had like a policy for a while to do 18 parlays and bet the like big heavy favorites?
I forget who did that. That's right. But you always end up losing, by the way. There's always the one that goes down.
Air Force guy?
It was Air Force guy. Yeah. It's an interesting strategy.
Our Air Force guy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He had a gambling strategy?
Oh, God. Very short-lived.
Yeah, because you like basically you're having to pony up like basically you have to bet like 10 extreme favorite bets to almost get to even money, right?
Yeah.
You're going to go down in flames because
one of them is going to lose. Yeah.
Right.
George is going to lose.
Right. I mean, you can't do it in the pros, obviously. You have to stick with college like – You want to get real risky? Start making intra-season college basketball bets. That's where you don't do that, right? It's like NBA second half lines. Just watch out.
You know, like actually, when we were in DC, Buddy and I used to do money line bets on NBA like locks, just to like for bar money.
You could lose all the time.
Well, we won a lot. I took his advice. You know, but you get like $40 here, $50 here, $30 there, and like, that's your bar tabs.
And then you lose it, it's all gone. And that's the problem because you're not making enough. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point.
I'm not saying it's not like if you're in Vegas for a weekend, it's probably like a really good strat. It's like a pretty solid strategy, right? It's like you walk in, you put $2,000 down on, bam, to win this game. Your money's locked up. You're not spending it at the blackjack table. And you're like, hey, man, I'm going to walk out of here with $200. I'm good to go. Right? It's not horrible. I mean, that's what I usually do when I go to Vegas, to like slow things down is you can make some small bets. You can make really small bets on sporting games. Like I was there during the week for a long time and it was during college basketball season. So I'd like bet on like, teams I didn't even care about. You know what I mean? And like $5 and you don't really even care. You know what I mean? And just watch the game. Right. It's yeah. Fun.
That was my old NFL parlay. But then you're obviously if the first one loses, you're not as committed.
That's the problem.
Yeah. But I mean, like it would make the day entertaining if, Bucks game.
Kept building.
Everybody else. Back when I watched the Bucks and NFL.
That means you have to watch the Bucks though.
But when I was up there, they were playoff bound and, won the Super Bowl. So it was actually a good time to be a Bucks fan.
I got up and made the coffee and I was ready to sit down to watch me some Bucks on Sunday morning and I turned that fucker off.
Yeah, pretty quickly.
Yeah, me too. I was like, I sent a text to somebody. I was like, well, the good thing about the early start is I can wake up, get my coffee, take my morning shit, and then move on with the rest of my day.
Take their morning shit.
Got the rest of the day in front of you. You could do anything. You could do anything. Not watch the Bucks.
I remember when Larry, when we were in law school, and we had our we'd line up our college football bets. And we hit some crazy parlay. Like one time, I did like a 4-team parlay, and like through sportsbook, accidentally bet it twice, and it hit. So it was like
that's right.
And then I probably got it up to like $1,000betting college football. It started with like $100 and then totally blew it betting NBA playoffs.
God.
And,
did you get cocky?
Well, because it was like, I thought, because it was actually Heat beat the Mavericks and the refs just like called a foul every time Dwayne Wade.
So that was why you were so worked up about that game. I remember you were like,
yeah,
I didn't feel like you were like that big of a Mavs fan.
Larry's like side-eyeing my liquor. Like, what's going on over here?
Because I
remember we were out in Coconut Grove in Good Times Gary, and he's like, come on, man, the local team won. Let's have fun. I'm like, fuck Miami. I hate the Heat. I lost money. That's why I was upset.
So it all makes sense now. I was just didn't understand that. It's interesting you met that. Like the I remember when you hit that double parlay. I remember the game I was the most proud of was, I think I'd won a few. It was shortly after you won that parlay. I would always you'd always scan for like just one line, right? You're like, you're hitting the whole like college football, and it was like one time it was like Nebraska sort of at the edge of there, like when people thought they were good. And they were like -7 against Texas Tech. And I bet the money line. I bet like $300 on the money line, which was like almost 2-1, right?
Yeah.
And Texas Tech won 70-10.
Oh, yeah. We built our bankroll betting Texas Tech and the over every year. Every game, we're like, well, let's take Texas Tech and the over.
I have no reason for this, but I got cocky for the I guess it was the 06 Gator basketball championship. And I bet the line and the over like fairly heavily, unfortunately. Like I was just kind of, like I said, I was very cocky, but they both hit.
Which game? Like
the UCLA, the championship game. Sorry.
Oh, nice.
Oh, nice.
It made it triply sweet. Yeah, exactly. It was a high scoring game. So it made it triply sweet. I mean, like not only did we win, it was certain, but then when they hit the over, I went, crazy. It was a wonderful, I don't know, whatever.
All I know is, I remember it explicitly, is we bet like there was a Texas Tech. We were just in the business of the overs. Texas Tech versus Texas A&M. The over was like 70. It went over in the first half.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
It was like playing beers in the second quarter. Because it's like,
Was Graham Harrell like the quarterback, or
it could have been? It could have been. It was great. I think I was the drunkest one I ever made. Where I made money was when the Lightning went down 3-2 to Calgary. Back in what was that, like 2004? I came home that night after they went down 3-2, and I looked at what the odds were for them to win the Stanley Cup, and it was like 9-1, and I put like $400 on it.
Hell yeah. Oh wow. Yeah. Fucking awesome, dude.
I had like my sportsbook account was like pretty big at the time, and it was like, it wasn't like all of it or anything, you know. Get out of here.
No way.
I put it on there, and I remember like when they were winning that final game, you know, and who was that guy? Selivanov scored those two goals. Yeah. And you know, he scored that first one. I think I was at Frederick's, and I about jumped through the ceiling. we didn't have it was during law school. I didn't have any money. It was just amazing.
I was over the Atlantic during that game because that was when I did my summer abroad.
That's right.
And I had to take off. I remember. So like I was at my parents watching game 6, which was they won in the overtime on St. Louis Bowl.
Yep.
And boarded a flight and from Miami to Zurich. Well, Tampa to Miami and then Miami to Zurich. And land in Zurich like the next night, and this was like pre like internet, like I mean it wasn't pre internet, but pre cell phone, ubiquitous internet, you know, and trying to find like a USA Today or anything at the Zurich airport, I couldn't find anything. Finally, I had a calling card, so I called my dad. I'm like, Dad, did we win? And he told me, yeah, they won. What was it?
That's awesome. 2-1.
Yep, 2-1.
So it wasn't Selivanov.
He scored.
He wasn't on the team.
No, you're wrong.
Guess where Professor Brasky was.
Guys, right. I hate to say this.
Oh, you're right. It was
out of the league in like the late 90s.
Fedotenko. I'm sorry. Yeah, I knew it was one of the guys that like wasn't around forever.
And that's great. I'm not wrong.
No, you're right. No, you're totally right.
I watched that. Yeah, I was actually in D.C. for 06 championship, both basketball. These are Gators. For the Bucks Super Bowl and for the Lightning Stanley Cup. I mean, that was an incredible run up there to, like, kind of rub it in people's faces who were, you know, like Skins fans who hadn't seen anything. Obviously, Caps hadn't seen one at that time.
All right, Nats going to the World Series.
Nats are going to the World Series. Fuck yeah.
Fedotenko was born. He's January of 1979.
Ukrainian.
Kiev.
Oh, shit. Uh-oh.
He may have some...
he glowed in the dark.
It's a little after, yeah. It's well.
So Modine, St. Louis, Brad Richards. Man, fucking this team.
That was good.
Yeah, Denger.
And where was Professor Brasky that night?
Oh, hell yeah, that's right. Let's take a second. You've got the best story of all of us. Where were you,
Dr. I was actually bartending at the, Tampa Bay Times Arena at that time?
No, it was Ice Palace.
Oh, really? Okay.
I
think so.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I was bartending at the Absolute Bar. So game ends, you know, everyone had a great game time. In. One of my best friends, Ken, and I, we were bartending. We did $9,000 on a 12-foot bar.
Oh, my God.
So Professor Brasky walked out of there with $1,000 in his pocket that night.
Oh, yeah.
So anyway, changing out of my uniform, and the manager comes up and goes, hey, you guys got to get dressed again. I go, why? What's going on? All the players are coming up, and they're going to have a party here at the bar. So put my uniform back on and then proceeded to tend bar till about 3:30 in the morning with all the Lightning players. The Cup was on my bar. The Conn Smythe Trophy. Yeah, yeah. Everyone was super cool. Jennifer Capriati was there.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So it was just a – yeah, exactly. But yeah, it was quite an interesting night. I didn't leave till 5:30 in the morning. So,
wow. Were you married at that point? No. But you were living with her, right? Who? Were y'all living together?
I'm just
Mrs.
kidding.
Brass.
Yeah. I'm trying to. I'm not saying names. No, I know Mrs. Riffick.
Probably you mean more Heather. Yes, we were living together
in communication though. Like, honey, I would normally be home by 1, but I'll be home by 5.
Well, yeah, here's a funny thing about that too. I traded the Gator to, I forgot my camera, because of course phones didn't have cameras at that time.
No,
right. You actually needed 2 devices. Ugh.
Yeah, I know. And I wanted her to bring it because I was excited because the Orange County Choppers guys, they had a couple of bikes out in the patio area or whatever. So, but she wouldn't bring it down. So, yeah. Oh well.
It's good times, man.
Yeah.
Hopefully, we'll do it again this year. I tell you what, though, I think this Nats team might be a team of destiny after they come out of that wild card. I wouldn't want to be one of those who replace them, which will be the Astros.
Yeah. Who's pitching? Pitching tomorrow night for everybody?
Totally a bullpen day for both teams, so that's probably the best chance to win. But other than like 3 guys in their lineup, everyone else looks like they're batting with their eyes closed. But
yeah, the Yankees' best hope is, well, they have to basically win the next 3 games, but that means they still have to beat 1 of Verlander or Cole, and I just don't think that's going to happen. So.
Well, yeah, I mean, I felt like they had a chance game 2 to beat Verlander.
Yeah, they did.
And Cole wasn't as sharp as he normally is. He had like
5 walks.
5 walks. They haven't been able to get a big hit.
Yeah, no, today was their best day to beat Cole. It's just, those 2 guys are just – the problem with the Astros is that, you know, the Yankees – path to beating you is, you know, beating you up, you know, big scoring. And unfortunately, the Astros can do a little bit of that too. That's the problem. The Astros are just the best team. I think Yankees
are second. They are. No, their talent's ridiculous. Their lineup is stupid.
Their lineup is ridiculous. It's just like when you play up against them, you're like, Jesus Christ, they have like 8 all-stars.
Yeah. Is that better to throw out the first pitch?
Yeah. Well, anyways, I we'll see where that series goes. It's just this weird. It's one of those years. I'm just, you know, the Astros have the best team, but they're going to play the Nats, who have, you know, two really good pitchers, so they could win, right?
Yeah.
And they're going to start off with their 2 best pitchers. So, you know, it's
super well rested.
Yeah, Scherzer and Strasburg on full rest. I mean, they both just need to win twice, and they'll win it.
Yeah. Is the All-Star game still count or no?
No, it doesn't. Don't do that anymore. No. Nope.
Okay, thank God.
It'll be Houston.
So the Astros.
Yeah, it'll be whoever wins the American League, it'll be there.
Right. Yeah.
Just both, they were the 2 best teams, and like I think the Yankees actually even had a better record than the Dodgers. If not, it was close. But you know, it's the first time in history there's 3 teams that win 100 games, and those were the 3 teams. So.
Is that right?
Wow. Yes. In the modern format.
Right. Of course.
So that's a lot.
Yep.
All right.
Anyways, wrap it up. Yeah. The Go Gators. I'm going to miss half the game. So,
what do you got going on this weekend?
Well, I have 4 soccer games in a row. So they've decided that they're opening the season with doubleheaders for everyone, including my under 4 team, my 4 and under team, which just makes no sense. So I'm going to have 4 and under team with 2 games, you know, on a Saturday morning. So it goes 4 and under, then my 8 and under, 4 and under, 8 and under, all back to back, all on the same field, 4 consecutive hours. It'll be great.
Do they keep a score?
They do. They don't keep score, but I do.
Well,
the kids do too. They are the worst. Like the worst is like when you have the parent, they're like, stop keeping score. You know
what?
It's like, yeah. Tell it. Oh, trust me, you'll run into them, but like. I mean, I always tell them, like, just to have fun, the score probably shouldn't matter. I mean, like, there's no real rhyme or reason. It's just breakaways. That's all it is.
Yeah.
It's just one breakaway after the other. There's no strategy. It's very little passing.
Last thing I want to say real quick is that it was called the St. Pete Times in the 3-4 season.
I think a lot of people used to make fun of everything for it. It's like, oh, they're playing the same 2-4 in Tampa. It makes no sense, just like Florida. Florida's dumb. Anyways, it's the usual joke.
Yeah, they're hilarious people.
Yeah, they're just mad they don't live here.
That's right.
Fuck them. So real quick, we talked about it. So randomly going to kind of a last second thing for work, I'm going to be in New Orleans on Thursday and Friday.
No, oh, wonderful.
Nice.
You know, order an Amber?
Ron, if you're listening, give me a spot to go to that's near the Hilton on the Riverside. Anyway, it's a short trip. But anyway.
So you can order an Amber, right?
Oh, definitely.
I have to order a Beta Amber because you'll look like an idiot.
It's an Amber.
You won't look like an idiot. It's just, you can tell the difference between people.
I know. I was just joking.
They'll still give you a beer, right? Listen, Mahoney, cut it out.
Just call it an Amber. Just go to Crystal Burger and get the fuck out of here. Sounds so good right now.
It does. Damn it. Now I want one. Or eight of them.
I'm hungry.
Yeah, it is. All right. There it is. All right, guys. Have a good one. Have fun in New Orleans, dude.
Listen.
Yeah.